How are we doing, everybody? This is Jeff Hoke here with Chris Henrique and Jamie Gallen, back for another episode of Shorthand and Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast, playoff edition. We are 5 games going into game five of the Bruins series against the Maple Leafs. Bruins are up 3-1 after taking two on the road in Toronto. Big two wins there. Looking to go into their game five to clinch it up, lock it up in Boston. So, Chris, I'll start with you. What's your take on the two games on the road that were able to be both taken on the road?
Well, I think the ultimate key is one, they didn't play flat because that's what they did in game two. But it's the play of the goaltender. They stuck with Swayman in back-to-back games, which was helpful and something that they should have done. And this whole alternating idea they had was stupid going into the postseason. I still think though that they need to get stronger play from the blue line overall, but I think the Bees can put it away, hopefully in game five. But I think the play of the goaltending, I think knowing, and I'd like to think that the team knows, like the players and all that know like a day before the next game of like who's going to be in net. But let's just say that they don't. Knowing that Swayman is your goaltender now in the postseason, and then you're going to sprinkle in Ullmark, to me, I just think that that takes a huge burden off the team of like who the hell is going to be in net, not having to worry about that. So I'd like to think that they know, but I'm going to play devil's advocate and pretend that they don't know.
Jamie, what's your take on the last two games as they head back to Boston here?
I was impressed. I mean, I feel like that was Toronto's chance to get back in the series, especially after taking game two. Like Chris said, they got great goaltending. I feel like in game four, other than Toronto's little flurry of offense in the last 5 minutes, they really couldn't get much going. It was good to see them kind of shut them down the majority of that game. And not let Toronto get back into the series in front of their own home crowd.
We talk about getting back in front, and they did. They took a 3-0 lead in the third period, their last game, and they did let one back up, but they didn't really get fazed. They didn't really get rattled by that goal. Lot to talk about on the Toronto side of things, and we'll get into that here right now because you got Austin Matthews, obviously not in the third period of that game. Due to quote unquote food poisoning slash illness, he did not practice on Monday, and we'll see if he goes tomorrow. That they're hopeful he goes tomorrow. Obviously, big loss if not. Nylander came back. Obviously, that hasn't done much for them. And then just the play of Marner, Mitch Marner has not been good whatsoever. To the point of you got the teammates, you got the big three yelling at each other now, getting into each other's faces, and it's the same. It's the same. How do I? It's same shit, different year for the Leafs fans. I mean, yes, they won it last year, but this happens every year for the Leafs fans. And Chris, feel free to go off on however you want to go off. Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette, went off on Marner the other day. What's the biggest issue with what the Leafs are doing right now, play wise?
Well, I think it's one, it's maturity. I mean, you can clearly see, I mean, there's a difference between, showing frustration. But you're in the playoffs and you're trying to advance deep and go on a deep run, you need to kind of check that stuff at the door. You're gonna have those meltdowns happen in the locker room. Yeah, but the fact that like you got a guy like Nylander who or Nylander, however you want to pronounce it, hasn't played in a couple of games, and it seems like he's just tired of their shit. And I get it, they're also not playing that well either, but by the same token, the Bruins have frustrated, I think, the Leafs pretty well. But in the grand scheme of things, I just think that there's a lack of maturity with the Maple Leafs. And again, I said from the beginning that I didn't like the matchup, and if the Bruins win, good. I still don't like the I didn't like the matchup, but I think it's kind of like a self-sabotage with the Maple Leafs. There's a lot of talent there offensively, but it's kind of comes down to, like, you can have all the talent you want in the world, but what does it translate to? Marner's a great player, but clearly the kid is, he just can't handle the big lights. You got Matthews, who's sick or whatever the hell's wrong with him. You got Burt, who I think does his job there and being that thorn under your side, but I think he's miscast there. I think he should, I think he's above what that team is. So I don't know. I think the Bruins need to put this away in five. If they let them linger around and this go and they take that game and then the Bruins don't put them away in six, ugh, I don't feel good.
Yeah, if this gets pushed to a game seven, it does get a little worrisome. And I mean, there are a lot of fans, including me, who are obviously worried, and they get PTSD looking back to last year series with the Florida Panthers up 3-1 in this same scenario heading back to Boston. Obviously, this is kind of a different team, but you still get that those worries. Jamie, how is it that the Bruins can stop themselves? And it seems like they're trying to keep the mentality of don't fuck up like you did last year and just focus in the now. What can these guys do to actually capitalize on a series win going back to TD Garden up 3-1 for once?
I think we'll start with Swayman. He needs to perform the way he has the whole entire postseason. His stats, whether it's the regular season, the playoffs against the Maple Leafs, have been insanely impressive. And for a team that hasn't really been scoring a lot the last couple of games, keeping that level of play will be key. I think Marchand's looked really good and kind of played like a man on a mission during this series. And that's been huge with Pastrnak kind of having a quiet couple of games. I know he scored, the other night off a beautiful pass from Marchand, but you need Marchand to keep, taking his game to another level. I think you need the other guys to chip in like they have all year. I think one big thing about this team, we've seen guys like Zaga, we've seen guys like Geeky, even Coyle have helped replace the offense they lost with Bergeron and Krejci. They've shown that a little bit in the playoffs. So if you continue to get elite goaltending and you get balanced scoring from all your lines, I think they can win it pretty easily in game five. I mean, if Toronto was to get back into the series, they had two chances at home to do that, and they just looked even more frustrated than before. So I feel like the Bruins are in a very good position as long as they keep doing what they did in Toronto.
Chris, Jamie kind of mentioned it, and I was going to tell us this up here soon anyway. Who do you think goes in game five here for the Bruins? Is it Linus or is it Swayman? I know you've had Swayman for the last two games. A couple scenarios here. If Swayman was to lose and, they were to get the Maple Leafs were to get the win, you go back to Toronto in the game six with Linus Ullmark. If you go Linus Ullmark here, you at least still get him some playing time, but also you get Swayman back in Toronto. How would you handle this situation if you were Jim Montgomery?
I think first and foremost, Jeremy Swayman starts game five. If you start Linus Ullmark, you're being cute and you're not trusting your gut. And that's what I felt that Montgomery failed on earlier in the series, was not trusting his gut and going with what he knows works. So he needs to trust his gut and go with the goaltender now that has gotten him to this point. So the game five goaltender should be Jeremy Swayman. Now, I think you need to answer this, or I need to answer this in two ways, because someone asked me the same question on Twitter a couple of days ago. I think that if it's like a 2-1, 3-2 type game where they lose, if say they lose, I don't think I'm pulling Swayman on it from a game six either. Now, if he gets his head kicked in and it's a blowout and he doesn't look good, that's a different conversation. Then you can go to your 1B goaltender and now you start Linus Ullmark and you try to get the kid right. But I think you will show him a massive vote of confidence by going with him in game five. Linus has to understand that this is Jeremy Swayman's team. It's going to be his team. You're going to play in another city next year, and you're here as our insurance backup. That's what Linus Ullmark's job is for the remainder of the postseason. If he plays any more than, I'll call it, six games throughout the duration of the postseason, then either the goaltending went to shit or Swayman got hurt. Swayman in five.
So, and you speak on Cleveland seems to understand that. And he does. And he spoke with the media today, said he's not here to be a sulky little crybaby when he's not in the net for the Bruins, and that he's here to support Jeremy Swayman or whoever they put in net. So, I mean, it's always nice to – and that's how it should be, obviously, in the playoffs. It should be just – you know, you've seen in the past one goalie throughout the whole playoffs, barring a Canuck situation where half your goaltending just dies on the spot.
Well, think about how many teams in that are in the playoffs right now that we're reading headlines that they were changing goaltenders, you know, halfway through.
You got obviously the Canucks, you got the Isles who switched up their goaltending. I believe Vegas has done that as well already.
Let me ask another question too, because like I'm not dialing into like Islanders playoff hockey, but I feel like in the playoffs, when things go backwards, why do we mainly blame the goaltender? Why is it the goaltender? I get it if a goalie is giving up four goals a game and they just look bad. But the immediate reaction is to just send the goaltender to the bench and bring in the next guy. Why are we not looking at the defenses of these teams? How are the defenses playing? Are the offenses scoring? How does the power play look? When they're on the power play, are they scoring? When they're on the penalty kill, are they stopping penalty? Like, it's not just the goalie's fault in the postseason. And unfortunately, in modern hockey, and I mean in the last, like, I don't know, 20 years of it being as big as it's been, whenever shit hits the fan, it's always the goaltender's fault in all of these situations. Swayman gave up a goal the other night. Oh, we got to bring in Ullmark. Why? Like... Because that's our immediate react. Do we think like real life hockey is like NHL 24? We can just, you know, press pause and go to management and just swap the goaltender out. This is not how sports works. Bobby Dalbec strikes out. Let's send him to the minors. You know, like Mac Jones throws an interception. Let's bring in Bailey Zappi. Fans who have that mindset, you're a simple minded fan and you're a pink hat. And I actually don't want to have a conversation with sports with you because I honestly think that you just lack the intellectual horsepower and understanding of sports. That's how I feel when people react like that, where we have to immediately just go and jerk the guy out of the game because something like that happened.
I'm happy you were able to get in your Red Sox.
To figure out a way.
Early today, unlike last week where you got it in late.
Bob's days are numbered. I'm not trying to say like Bob is like the end all be all. Those days are numbered.
Oh, no, of course not.
He should be in AAA where he belongs, hitting 275 and being, you know, the king of minor league.
Bob is going to platoon now. That's what it's going to be. Bob's going to be platooning. That's what it appears to be the thing. Jamie, do you have a rebuttal to that one or do you have anything to say on that note?
No, I agree. I mean, I feel like I don't know how you take where you're from Swayman at this point, like assuming they advance. Dark Stewart getting another start like that, but I feel like to Chris's point, unless Swayman looks completely lost, like during the headlights or he gets injured, I don't see how they give the net back to Ullmark for at least the duration of this series. But I feel like his next start at that point, you know, because Swayman would be rolling, you'd have to give it early in game for the second series because at that point it's, and like it is now, it's Swayman's dead, and I don't get how you could take him out. Assuming he's still playing at a elite level.
Honesty circle here for a second. Do the Leafs have a chance to come back in this series? Either one of you, whoever wants to talk first.
Yeah,
I think.
I would say no. I don't know. I say no just because of how they looked the last game. I just feel like if they were going to get back into it, doing it on their home ice, they had two prime opportunities, especially after winning game two in Boston, and they weren't able to do it. So that's why I would say no.
Chris?
I think that until, and this is going to sound just cliche, but I think until 00 hits in the third period and the Bruins have the lead and they close them out, yes, they 100%. We got to see two different versions of the Bruins in this series. We saw what they were like in game one. They put, you know, they put the pedal down and they went. And then we saw them go into game two. They played an okay first period, and then they all just disappeared in the second period, third period. The game went sideways. You have one of those games where all of a sudden you play one good period and then you play two bad periods of hockey and you let them build any sort of momentum at all. I don't care what team it is. You're going to allow them. You're allowing somebody to crawl back in. The Bruins need to go out in game five and completely blow this team off the map and be done with them. Get rested up and then focus on game two. I mean,
and the biggest thing that we saw from them is the fact that you were able to get two straight games of them playing well. And that being on the, they're better on the road, obviously, than they have been at home. I believe last time I checked, they're since dating back to 2019 when they were in the Stanley Cup final, they're 33-33 in the playoffs at TD Garden. So they're better on the road than they are at home. But point being is they were able to string together two straight games of good hockey. And, you know, nothing that we can really, outside of the goal that they gave up in the third period, but nothing you can really, you know, write home about when it comes to bad hockey play, when it comes to how the Bruins play, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they just dominated the last two. Granted, like we said, the Leafs were kind of acting like crybabies. They didn't have Austin Matthews in the last period of game four. But it was really nice to see them in a hostile environment kind of just dominate. So, you know, now you got to do it at home where it should be, in theory, easier in front of your home crowd. But I feel like that was a really good test of going on the road and win those two games, especially considering that they were coming off of game two, you know, when it looked like Toronto was at least edging its way back in, or that, you know, they had evened it, and at least the Bruins were kind of able to put their foot down, you know, and get a commanding 3-1 series lead rather than let Toronto build on any momentum from game two.
Chris, how big has the play of how big has the Brad Marchand play been for the Bruins in the last two games? And not even just how he's been playing, how he's been getting into the heads of these Maple Leafs players like a Max Domi or, you know, anybody on that team.
Well, you can definitely see how he's transformed as a player from being where he was when he was a younger player, that like thorn in the side, you know, that just kind of, it's kind of like, I don't know if you guys remember Ugueth Urbina when he was a closer. It was in like the early 2000s. He was one of those guys that was like super fiery. Like, he was always known as like someone that you always hated as an opposing player, but you respected him when he was on your team. I just think when it comes to Marchand, that's his MO. He is transformed into being that pain in the ass, I'll lick your face type player, to he's a leader now. And he's showing off that leadership on the ice. He's scoring goals, and the team kind of beats off of his own like drum there. So if he goes and he starts acting reckless on the ice, the team's going to do the same way. I think that he's done a pretty good job in many different scenarios throughout this series to kind of keep his composure and in kind of in a tactful way, be that thorn in the side of the Maple Leafs. And I think his teammates around him are following suit with their play and how they're getting into these guys' heads. Besides that too, he got that record with when he scored that goal the other night. So there's a lot of positives with Marchand, and I think that he's setting the tone for this team. And if they take care of the series, he's, besides Swayman, I would say one of the biggest reasons in this series.
Yeah, Jamie, I feel like outside of him stepping up and being the captain that he is and that he has on his jersey, just the team as a whole has played well in the way of not letting the Leafs get to them and not taking the dumb penalties that they are trying to give you. Instead, they're the ones giving the dumb, they're letting Toronto get the dumb penalties at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I've been impressed by seeing that. I feel like it too how the postseason ended last year. You know, this is a team that had a lot to prove. So I feel like it kind of could have gotten a little easier to commit those penalties or maybe overthink just because you're trying to wash off the taste of last year and show that, you know, that's not who you are as a team. They've played very disciplined hockey. And you know, a Toronto team that has a lot of goal scorers and guys that can make you regret those mistakes. They've done a good job of not making stupid plays. So I think that's a very encouraging sign, especially considering, you know, you might have to face a Florida team in round two, that even more than the Leafs, if you made those mistakes, they're going to make you pay for it and regret it.
Well, on that note, let's look around the league for a minute before we wrap up here. A lot of 3-1 contests. Everything except as of recording this, the Vegas Golden Knights are getting ready to drop puck here. They're up 2-1 right now. Everyone else up 3-1. Florida up 5-1 on the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, looking to close that series out. Obviously, Rangers swept the Capitals yesterday, so they're on to the next round, and they're waiting for the winner of Carolina and the Islanders, who the Islanders are down 3-1 right now as well. Other than that, I mean, I should say, yeah, and let's talk about for a second here, guys. We talked about, texted this in the thread yesterday. The Vancouver Canucks, who are down two goalies right now. They had their AHL starting goalie, came back from two goals yesterday, and beat Nashville to go up 3-1 in the series. How big, obviously, Thatcher Demko's out for the season, it appears like. But how big is it that these guys, that the Canucks are able to overcome adversity like this, especially on the road?
I mean, I feel like that's huge, especially early on. I feel like most teams that would sink you, and, you know, that would be a valid excuse to, if you were to eliminate, to kind of turn to that and use that as reason. But they've been very impressive, and they're a team that I like a lot. So it's been good to see them deal with those blows early on and not let them affect them, especially when the stakes are at its highest.
Chris?
Hang on a second, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, the suspense is killing us.
Okay, can we go again now? Sorry.
No, we're just wondering about what your thoughts on the Vancouver Canucks were.
Hang on a second.
Oh, there goes Chris for a second.
I just hope they all have fun.
Well, anyway, so Jamie, any other thoughts about around the NHL that you've seen so far from the first round series?
I mean, I've been impressed by the Panthers. I thought the Lightning would put up a little more of a fight. So I've been impressed to see them dominate. I mean, I feel like with Colorado, I felt that was a series I wasn't surprised that they'd be up 3-1 and that they would win kind of single-handedly. So I haven't really been that surprised by all. I mean, I thought Washington would win at least a game. I didn't think they would get swept. But that was also just an impressive run. But yeah, I mean, you look at that series, the Rangers scored 4 goals in 3 out of those 4 games, which I feel like isn't that's impressive, but I feel like that's not a large number. So it's also credit to them getting timely goals and also shutting down Washington's offense. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised by kind of where all the series are, I guess. There are some that I felt like other teams would have put up, you know, more of a fight, but and that's the beauty of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Ovechkin not having a point in that series whatsoever. Just quite surprising at the end of the day. That is for sure. Chris, can you hear us now?
Can you hear me is the question.
I can hear you, yes. I was wondering is there any surprises in this first round that you have seen so far?
Not really. I think that the team, I think it's kind of gone a lot of the ways that people, I would say, with the exception of the dude from that Barstool podcast, who is the biggest Leafs fan on the planet. I think it's kind of gone the way people thought it was going to go so far. I mean, I really get into the NHL playoffs as we get deeper into it, because I feel like that's when the series get like more intense. The physicality picks up. There's the storyline is, it starts to get a little bit juicier. Would I like to see like an upset somewhere? Sure. But I get a little more dialed in as we get into like just before the conference finals, like towards the end of the second series that are being played.
Before we wrap up here tonight, Jamie, you got any final thoughts?
I think I'm gonna give a little. I feel like we're gonna get another multi-goal game from Jake DeBrusk. I feel like I want to get your thoughts on this, on your guys' thoughts on this too. I feel like if I had to pick one MVP so far, it would be a tie between him and Marchand. I feel like during the regular season, we saw the usual stretches when Jake DeBrusk was really hot, and other times when you had no idea where he was on the ice. So it's been good to see him kind of be a points machine lately. I could see like a 1-2 goal game from him. I feel like it's kind of set up for him to have a big game. So I guess that would be my last final thoughts slash prediction for tomorrow night.
Chris, you got any final thoughts?
First, I think once we're done, Jeff, you should go to BR Open Ice and play the highlight of
the ones that were great in Radrick.
The fans singing "Na Na Na Hey Hey Goodbye" as the Lightning are going to get eliminated out of the first round.
6-1 now, I think. Last time I checked.
Florida is the team that makes me the most nervous throughout the entire, Eastern Conference, and it's strictly one, they're a really good hockey team, but two, last year, the Bruins were the best team on the planet, and they went into and just kind of kicked their teeth down their throat. But I think it would be cool to kind of get another matchup with them and try to avenge that. But I don't know, the Bruins just go out and take care of business tomorrow in game five. They need to go and take care of business, stick with your goalie, don't overthink shit. I think when teams do that is when you get into trouble. When you start to be cute, you start to tinker with stuff that doesn't need to be tinkered with. I think sometimes it goes and it bites you. And I just don't have the confidence yet in Montgomery in the postseason to go with his gut yet, because he looked and was outcoached last year. Now this is his second playoff series. Don't get outcoached and let the Maple Leafs come back. Have your team put them away, regroup, figure it out from there.
Yeah, I agree. This is where you learn your lessons. This is where we find out if you learned your lesson from a year ago. And it's going to be big. But I do think that they'll get that win on home ice. And it looks like if all goes well, we'll be meeting the good old Florida Panthers for another go around, for another playoff season. So should be a fun time. Should be some good games. We will be back next week, as always, to recap that series and most likely the be probably a game or two into the next series already if they do win. But regardless, I'm Jeff Hoke. That's Chris Henrique, and that's Jamie Gatlin. This has been yet another episode of Shorthanded Takes at Boston Bruins Podcast, presented by Beyond the Monster. We will see you guys next week.